Good morning. Welcome to the Australian Daily Finance briefing for Tuesday, the 1st of September, start of spring here in Melbourne. I'm Nick Hurley. Starting with Professor Ross Garnaut. He was the principal economic advisor to Bob Hawke in the early 1980s and helped him with a lot of the sort of forging the economic relationships between us and China, such as, you know, the huge iron ore trade. And also he was the ambassador to China from 1985 to 1988. Now he's sort of come out in support of this, you know, protecting the relationship between us and China, saying China's liberal turn in recent years is disappointing, but can't undo the economic benefits that have accrued to Australia from these closer economic ties. He adds, there was never a presumption that close economic engagement would lead to China's adaptation of Western political institutions, or that the explicit policies of Western governments would lead to such outcomes. So he's basically saying, we've set our bar sort of too high in hindsight to where it was, you know, originally, and we're overreacting to something that wasn't even in the initial intentions. Now, that sort of ties together, the AFR mentions that it ties together nicely with what John Howard's been saying. He said, the protests in Hong Kong might be a glimpse of the future in mainland China, and Australia should pursue quiet diplomacy and avoid a show of force response by Chinese authorities. So some definitely moderate views there, looking at the interests of, you know, Australia's commercial interests globally. Okay, moving to the funeral care industry. It's quite well represented on the ASX through Invacare and Propel Funeral Parlours. Now, at the early onset of the coronavirus pandemic, I went really long into Invacare, partly because I thought, you know, it's a stable business, and with a pandemic ensuing, that would be one sector that would, you know, at least benefit. At that stage, there was no real sort of expectation of things like lockdowns and isolation and, you know, controls and all those sorts of things, you know, in the Australian circumstance. So what's actually turned out is that that business has been really hardly hit. So, you know, influenza rates have plummeted by as much as 95%, the Australian quotes. And in addition to that, vehicle fatalities are down a lot as well. So they're down about 10% nationally, and in Victoria they're down about 20%, just because people aren't driving as much as they were. Now, the main problem is these, you know, capacity limits. So in Victoria it's still 10 people, and that obviously hits, you know, the spending of the on the funerals and the businesses that benefit from that as the funeral homes. So these businesses are fairly sort of have fairly high fixed costs. So even a small decline in the death rate, the Australian mentions it's about 2 to 4% this year, it can have quite a big impact on earnings from these businesses. So, you know, Invacare's volumes have fallen 3.5%, but the revenue's fallen more than 6%. And that's sort of translated into quite a large profit decline. You know, they've been spending money on other, you know, renovating and that, but, you know, the profits declined 48%. So it's a good lesson learnt there that, you know, things don't seem quite as they are at face value. And moving to a business that has actually done well from the pandemic, and that is eSports. Now, VanEck is launching an eSports ETF here in Australia. It's going to use the ESPO as its ticker. Now, they cite that, you know, it's been an absolutely booming industry. Since 2015, video game revenues have seen an annualized growth rate of 13%, and it's estimated that by 2023, video game revenues should hit US $200 billion annually. Now, they're only going to invest in companies that have that derive more than 50% of their revenue from gaming. Now, that will exclude companies like Microsoft with their Xbox, because, you know, they make so much money elsewhere. So they're going to be looking at companies like Tencent, Nintendo, Electronic Arts, Activision, etc. that will, you know, be part of the portfolio. So an interesting trend there in the sort of newer industry areas of the market. On to capital structure, capital structures of companies. Now, the FT ran an article over the weekend talking about the increasing complexity we're seeing in a lot of these capital structures, particularly in businesses that, you know, need to restructure, you know, that would otherwise, you know, be filing for bankruptcy protection. And what a lot of these restructures are doing, they're sort of breaking the different elements of the business sort of up and attaching debts, securing separate debts to different areas. So, for example, like Qantas, they've issued bonds that are attached to their 787 Dreamliners. They, rather than just to the business as a whole, this is happening quite a lot. They mentioned that's sort of what happened with Toys R Us in 2017. They had, debt attached to their property, to their international operations separate from the US operations, and to their intellectual property. Now, why would you do that? Basically, it means you're tapping different sort of sub-markets of investors. So if you're able to offer a property product to property, retail property investors, then you'll generally attract a better price than having, you know, a diversified selection of assets in the umbrella of a business. So what what they do is bundle these sort of bits up, and it allows the cost of financing to be actually a bit lower, you know, having that sort of the slightly higher dollar for each different area. And that's all well and good if the business is to survive, but the problem occurs when things are wound up, or, you know, when they go into bankruptcy. And that's what happened with Toys R Us in 2017. There were so many different parties that had all different interests that they weren't really able to come to a consensus on the value of the business and how that business should be divided up. So it ended up having to liquidate its assets, and the business was ultimately, you know, largely destroyed as a result of that. So certainly something there that is to be kept in mind, particularly with a lot of sectors of the economy under severe stress at the moment, to see what's happening with their capital structures. If you need, you know, to spend hours studying a complicated sort of org chart style of capital structure, then maybe that's a bit of a red flag. Okay, moving to the markets, the US has opened largely flat in early trade this morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, the index, has had a rebalance today. So Apple's had its stock split, and because the Dow Jones is, not a market cap weighted index, it's based on the stock price. Its weighting index has dropped to 2.9% from 12%, and they've added in Salesforce, Amgen, and Honeywell, and ExxonMobil has dropped out, along with Pfizer and Raytheon. Now, coming up here in Australia today, we've got the first Tuesday of the month interest rate announcement, and we've also got some of the inputs to the GDP reading, which will be on Wednesday, but we've got the current account as well as private house approvals coming up later today. That's your update for Tuesday. Have a great start to the month.
This podcast is for investment professionals only and should not be relied upon by private investors. The podcast is provided for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial advice. The values of investments can go up or down, so you may get back less than you initially invested.